I mean, that beat just gets you vibing. I don't even know what else to say. Welcome back, Relics of Sports Talk, episode 175, which means we close to 200, which means another live event. But thank you for watching on YouTube, listening on Spotify. Check us out on Facebook, at Realism Pod on Twitter, and Realism Sports Talk on TikTok. Thank you for all the patrons right there for your support to make us look good. And, you know, my producer already does that, but you enhance that. We appreciate it. If you want to sponsor a week, let us know. We'll get your logo on there. We'll talk about you on every show we do for the week and do all kinds of shout outs for you. Loving the Commanders, love for the Black Mamba, and all the love right there for my mama. But today we got my man Darren from Fat Boy Fadeaway all the way in Cali. What's good, Darren? How you doing, man?
What's going on, my man? What's up? I'm ready to do this. Excited to talk sports with you. It's been far too long, my friend.
It has been. Speaking of far too long, you've been putting me on far end of the bench with Nico, who swept my Lakers. Much love to you, Nico, definitely. And much love to your co-host, too, Tyler. Tyler, we think about you, bro. You know what I'm saying? Take whatever time you need. But when you get back, it's still TNT, Explosion. We love you, bro. Whatever's going on, you're in our thoughts and everything else. But Darren, right now, you know, on Relics of Sports Talk, we talk about sports from Hall of Famers to the local talent to the big-time storylines. Let's go. And ain't nothing bigger than the Heat continuing to shock everyone. The Celtics are falling short again. The Nuggets reached their first finals, but they crying like they ain't getting no respect. Coaching news everywhere. And two of my special guest favorite teams, the Golden State Warriors and the Vegas Raiders. You know what I'm saying? Plus the rest of the big-time storyline. So we'll have some stories within the moment. But since it is finals week starting tomorrow, I had to wear my big-time storyline shirt with Kobe winning his fifth ring that all the greats, like your boy Steph Curry's trying to get, and like LeBum's still trying to get. And that's exactly what the ring looks like right there. That's what it is right
there. There you go.
There it is right there.
There you go.
This is your boy's last ring right there. I'm still repping you, baby. I'm still repping Golden State.
Well, you got to be repping me. You beat me.
I mean, you know, just because I'm trying to take Draymond Green from you. But anyway, special shout out to the producer, Jared. People don't realize what all this guy does. Besides making us look official, this guy coaches sports. He got his own life, his own job. He's got his family, his wife, kids. This guy's the most humble guy that I've met in a long time, and I'm blessed to have him in my corner. A lot of people that get on the show talk about, damn, you a lucky guy. I am a lucky guy. You damn right I am. Jared, we love you, Jared. He's a Met fan. He's a Commander fan. I don't care about his basketball team. We won't talk about them.
Go Spurs, go.
But Jared, we love you.
Appreciate
much appreciation for you, Jared.
Appreciate you.
Darren, you ready, baby? We talking about this. How in the hell? Now, I don't even start with the Heat. I'm going to start with the Celtics first. Why do they keep struggling this whole postseason? They did well during the regular season. They had their ups and downs a little bit with a brand new coach. We already know about it. Doku or whatever, sleeping with whoever. Now he's a Houston's coach, whatever. But during the postseason, even in the first round, they were struggling with games, blowing leads, doing things. Philadelphia actually thought they might win something, but they didn't. You know what I mean? And then coming back from a 3-0 deficit to ultimately lose. Why did they struggle so much? Why was there no continuity all the way through?
You know, the Celtics are one of those interesting teams to me where when they get ahead, they seem to dominate. When they're ahead by 50 points, they seem to play well because they're so reliant on the three ball more than people think. They really rely heavily on the three ball. And they struggled, obviously, in this series. And even going back to last year in the finals against the Warriors, you could see it where they really needed a veteran point guard at times or somebody that played like that to settle them down at times and get them into good offense, because you saw it with the Celtics. Yes, Tatum can get going and win you a game seven like he did against the Sixers, which we can debate. The Sixers should have won that series probably. But you look at Brown, and like, as good as Brown is, I mean, he can't dribble. I mean, I don't have to tell you that basketball is a guard. I don't, and you're your second highest paid player, and you're supposed to create offense and good plays for other teams, Terrell. You tell me how you're supposed to get in good offense, and then you're relying on guys like Derek White, who played hella good, but Mike, it's Derek White at the end of the day. You get my point? Like, you got to have your superstars be able to make plays for other people's. And when your turnover to assist ratio gets worse in the postseason, are you kidding me? To me, like, I like Jaylen Brown. He went to Cal out here. He went to one season, whatever. You know what I mean? I like his game. He got a little worse defensively this year as well. I don't know. I noticed that a little bit with his game. To me, I got to be honest. Like, to me, that was the big reason why. And then Robert Williams, I kind of thought he would take another jump this season after seeing what he did in the finals. And he was solid at moments, but he didn't really play that well. There's this weird dynamic with Smart, him, and Tatum. They're really good, but they played over 135 playoff games together now. Yeah. You would think they'd have some of these late-game situations figured out. But every time they're in a late-game situation, they always kind of collapse. I mean, they got lucky in game 6, obviously, and then game 7, they didn't show up again. But it's hard to be a team 4 times at that point.
Yo, I'm with you with a whole lot of what you just said, yo. And we're going to start with the first thing that you said about the point guard. I mean, Marcus Smart made his plays, different things. He was defensive player of the year last year. Took a step back. Robert Williams, I thought he was going to make that big jump. Took a step back. Jaylen Brown and Tatum never really got into, I don't know what is going on with that situation. I think they kind of went a step back. Obviously a rookie coach, you know what I mean? So then we look at it and you said they need a veteran point guard. Well, you added Malcolm Brogdon from UVA right here around my neck of the woods, who won Sixth Man of the Year. Yep. He won Sixth Man of the Year and you still had the same issues. So I look at it like there has to be something else going on. So what do you think their biggest need is right now to figure out?
They got to get some sort of inside presence. I mean, come on, when you watch that series, it's hard not to see, like, Mike, I mean, I watch the Warriors shoot a ton of threes, right? But, like, and that can get frustrating. But, like, that's the Celtics. And they don't have necessarily, like, if you're a defense, right, you're like, well, we're going to let Smart shoot. And what does Smart do? He likes to shoot. It was kind of funny to me that they ran the play for him in game 6 too, but he almost made it.
I don't know if he ran the play for him. They just double-teamed
him. Well, with 3 seconds left, it looked like they ran the play for him. I'll say that. And he wasn't afraid to shoot. We know that. So he was going to get it up at that point. I don't know. I think what you mentioned with Smart, that to me, that's the biggest thing that stands out to me is, like, he was supposed to be their third, I guess, best player, right, because he's a defensive player of the year, and he definitely – he was still solid, but, like, he definitely regressed a little bit defensively. And, like, I don't know if that's because he's hurt. Some maybe these injuries will come out later. I still kind of like his game. It's just a weird dynamic because if you're the Celtics, why do you – if you get rid of Brown, you're instantly not better, right? Like, so they're in this tough spot. And then Brown got second team all team. And I think me and you know he's not that – he's not NBA second all team. There's a lot of injuries this year. They're in a weird spot, man. Like, are they going to pay all that for Brown? And, like, his interviews when they put him in trade talk, he's always been, like, kind of FU mentality a little bit. Like, I don't know. It's going to be very interesting what they do. But they definitely get worse if they get rid of him, I think.
We're going to get to that. That's a great point. Great points all around. We're going to get straight to that. But when I look at the biggest need, I want to go start off with the coach. The coach got a lot of hoopla. He got a lot of people dogging him. Doc Rivers was getting credit when they were playing. Like, Doc Rivers is a great coach out here doing things. And we know about his history. So, you know what I mean? So, do you think that the coach can survive this? Because he did have moments where he was growing. He is young. We could get a great assistant coach like Frank Vogel or somebody. Or do you go like I've been saying, you go get Coach Bud that Milwaukee let go? Because I look at Milwaukee's team and they have Giannis and then they got like Middleton, Brook Lopez, different kind of players. I feel like Bud would know what to do with a roster like that. I don't know. What do you think? Give the young guy another shot or two or go for the big splash?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Like, we don't talk about Brad Stevens really in this situation, but he didn't really put him in the best situation either to succeed. No. I got to be, to be fair to him in that situation. Like, he comes on last minute with the guy. He said, Udoka doing his thing, making his rounds. You know, he's done that. He takes it for him. His assistant coaches, like, he probably had no feel for his staff in that regard. He didn't get to bring on his guys. But there was some moments where, like, he didn't call timeouts. There were some end-of-the-game situations where I could see if I was a Celtics fan, I might be, like, kind of wondering a few things. But if you're a young coach, that seems to make sense.
That's going
to
happen.
The thing is, like, this is what separated those Heat from the Celtics. Like you said, like, do they give this guy a chance to finish it? I think when you said about what was the coach you said from the Hawks and then from the Bucks? What was his name again?
Coach Bud from the Bucks. Yeah. Yeah. He won a championship with Milwaukee.
If they do fire him, I feel like that's the type of guy they have to coach that at least has a championship pedigree. I'm going to be honest. I'm not a Bud fan. I don't necessarily think he's like the best head coach at moments. I know he won the championship, the Bucks, but I always was frustrated with the way he ran his offense as well with the Bucks. So there was moments where I was not a fan of him, but I don't know. I feel like if you're going to get rid of Mazzulla, you definitely got to come back with somebody that has the pedigree.
I mean, they got Adrian Griffin now for the Bucks. Good luck with that one, buddy. I don't know. I mean, whatever. Yeah. Supposedly Giannis likes him. Yeah. I don't know. But like you were talking about with Tatum and Brown, okay? They've had 6 years together. You know what I mean? Yep. And I've been cheering for them, especially when LeBron was in the East. Tatum was showing up. They were doing different things. But they've lost 3 conference finals. And they've lost 1 NBA finals. It's successful because... as a team, as a person who has most of his teams suck, you know what I mean? The Lakers have their shiny moments a few times in there. But every other my team suck. So yeah. I would take that all day long. But when you have young stars like that, and Tatum, even in his press conference, said, you know, he stressed the importance of keeping Jaylen Brown, which was shocking to me. But after this year, Brown is up for his money. Do you pay Jaylen Brown? Or do you trade them before that and let somebody else handle that?
Man, that's the thing. Is like I said, with him getting to that second team, his max goes up even more a little bit. And like if you're the Celtics, I think you know in the back of your head that maybe isn't the best 1-2 combination to win you a championship. You've seen it. You've seen what it gets you at moments. It gets you the conference finals and to win a championship.
But supposedly not the problem. Supposedly not the problem. Like you said a veteran point guard. You see what Kyle Lowry's doing off the bench with Miami. Yeah. Could it be something else that they can work together? I don't know. Go ahead.
It doesn't seem like there's any friction between the two. Like you said, Tatum wants him back. Brown's been there. It's just this weird, like, it just seems like they don't necessarily play off each other the best as you would want your two superstars too. That's the issue. So I think in the Celtics, it's like, if you don't sign him, like I said, you get worse. You don't get better unless you're bringing in somebody that, like, I don't know who the hell you're bringing in at that point that's better than him just magically. So I'm just saying, like, that's where you got to stay. If you're in it, you're at least in the conversation to freaking win a championship if you sign him. So I think at the end of the day, they have to sign him. But, God, that would be a tough pill to swallow if you have to give him, like, what, you know, a $50 million a year deal.
Gosh, it's going to be like that. It's going to be like that. Because Tatum's going to get his, too. But does Brown want to stay? He's been in trade rumors, KD, and other places and other things going on. But in the press conference, he was like, my team, my team, my team. I think the biggest problem is that he doesn't understand that Tatum's going to be the focal point of the team. I look at your team. Steph Curry, Klay Thompson. We said many years ago, Klay could go somewhere else and be the one. Maybe not right now, but 5 years ago, he could have been a one somewhere else. And get his stats and elevate his game, whatever else, you know what I mean? Jaylen Brown, because Klay was a defensive stopper. We talked about this before. Jaylen Brown was supposed to be that defensive stopper, right?
Yep.
But what happened? Like you said, that changed all of a sudden. He was more focused on his offense. Maybe because the money was about to come, and he's trying to put up his numbers to say, ooh, look at me. I'm putting up these numbers. Pay me money. I think that has something to do with it also. But I'm with you, though. You got to keep going. Because in the NBA, it was always, you're going to keep playing the team. You're going to lose. Eventually, you're going to break through that door and win. We know about old NBA Bulls, Pistons, Celtics, and whatnot. You're eventually going to get through there. These guys are 26 to 27 years old. You're 26 and 27 years old, and you've been to 4 conference finals and 1 NBA finals. I mean, I'll take that all day long. I think it goes back to your point with the inside game and the point guard. This is why Tyler was on the show, and I said, I would make a trade with Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown for DeAndre Ayton, Chris Paul, and maybe something else. And we're hoping that Chris Paul would stay healthy just for that veteran point guard. Because you still got Michael Brogdon. But DeAndre Ayton in the East with wimpy people like Giannis and Joel Embiid who want to shoot threes and be all, you know, jumping around. They're not going to bang like the Joker is.
Yeah.
I just feel like that would fit better. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I think at this point I'm out on Chris Paul, man. I think I'm just out on him.
Because of the health? Because of the health?
I mean, he's not available. I mean, it's right. Like, how can I trust him at all when it comes to the, like, deep playoff run? I mean, he just doesn't stay healthy, and he's only getting older.
Right.
His game isn't getting better. That would be a tough one for me to do at that point with it. But I hear you. They definitely, I don't know, Mike Conley always jumps out to me as a name that kind of stands
Conley,
out.
Mike Conley, that's a good one.
He's always one that, like, there. But, like, you know, the Celtics, like you said, like, I mean, what do they do? Do you just unload Smart? I mean, he's one of your, like, I don't know. You try to keep a nucleus together, right? I know you got to break it up at certain points, but it almost feels like – I feel like the Horford thing's kind of come to an end a little bit. I feel like that – as good as he's been, I don't know. I feel like that – they're having to play him like 32 minutes a game. Like, there's got to be somebody there that they fit in. If that's – I just think they got to give Williams a little bit more run too. I know he gets in foul trouble, but I think that would also elevate them to be able to do lobs. They couldn't play offense against a freaking zone. They played
the zone messed them up.
man, it totally messed them up. I mean, this is like CYO, man. Just get the free throw line. Get to the man to the free throw line.
Darren, what about this? Because the Bucks right now, Brook Lopez is not signed.
Yeah.
Brook Lopez going to the Celtics.
Yeah.
I want to keep Horford just to be on the bench as a coach because he'll get in everybody's face. He's not scared to do that. You know what I mean? Yep. And somebody like a Conley, like you said. And if you got to let Smart go to do that, that's fine. I think that changes the whole dynamic of everything. Because Brook Lopez can play defense and he can hit the three. I think he would fit perfectly in Boston.
Can they afford a $50 million Brown and Lopez, though? That's going to be the issue, right?
Lopez will take less. He'll take less. And if you got to get rid of Smart's money, gone.
Yep. I don't know. I don't know if you've read much into it. The CBA is really changing this summer, so it's going to be very interesting what happens with the NBA in that regard and being able to sign that two max guys and then a guy Lopez. If Lopez took a deal, you're right. That would be an ideal fit for them. Somebody that could shoot a three, which they like do, and block shots.
What was he second in the defensive player of the year vote or third or something? He was one of the top ones. I think that would be the hugest thing because they need somebody on the inside, just like you said. I think that's a hugest part of it. So we look at it and and as sports talk people, we love to talk about people's failures. I mean, that's just what it is. We want to talk. We don't want to talk about how much money you got. You're a celebrity. You're a star. We know what you got. I'm going to talk about why you suck. Okay.
Yep.
So I want to know how much longer, because I asked your boy Tyler about this. How much longer are we going to keep on giving Jason Tatum leeway? Because Harden is somebody I hate because he's flopped around.
Yeah.
And CP3 is somebody I respected. I look at them in the same boat. And Jason Tatum is, how much longer can Tatum survive without winning a chip before he gets lumped into that category?
You know, the one thing that's different than him than some of those guys is he's usually been able to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, which kind of like for me is like that kind of like he's made it through, and then he had that dunk on LeBron that we both probably
yes!
That gives him a little bonus points, but he dunked on him and he's like, get out of me. Like, I was like, that kind of gives me a little.
And still lost the playoff dinner.
You're probably right, but that's like an image where I'm like, I give him a little pass there. But I'm with you. I think he definitely gets a couple more years. But let's say he gets knocked down the first round next year. That changes the whole ballgame at that point, Terrell. But I just feel like, I mean, you saw 51. He struggles. But I just feel like the Celtics, they just don't always put him in a position to get, like, easy baskets. I feel like every basket he has to get, it's like him having to work off two or three dribbles. He's never getting the ball in a position to, like, just go to work on one or two dribbles. So I feel like there's a higher ceiling with him. So there's – I don't know. I like his game a lot. I really think Tatum's a good – the only thing I question with him is like you said, is there like this emotional effing pride that you want to see once in a while, right? That's kind of what it comes down to. And I think we both see that's the next thing with him. But I feel like he can get there. I believe in him in that point guard still.
I mean, I'm telling you. I mean, and Jason Tatum's my guy just because of this guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he gonna keep on wearing Kobe Bryant stuff and referencing Kobe Bryant and doing the things he's doing. You need to stop doing that shit. I mean, you know what I'm saying? You can't have a 51 point game seven and do all these things and la 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 la. And then you come out. Now, granted, he did hurt himself in the beginning. I knew that was gonna be a problem, but I've seen other games where he didn't hurt himself.
We didn't talk about that.
You know what I'm saying?
That definitely changed.
You know, it definitely did, but I don't know. But let's get to the team that won. We don't give the teams that won enough. Like Denver's crying about respect because LeBron said he was hurt. The Miami Heat. Unbelievable. Okay? So the main question is, how and why have they had this run? But before you answer that, I want to just let's just pretend like they won. Like they win the finals, okay?
Okay, right.
They beat the two top teams record-wise. They beat the number one, the number four, number two seeds, and they beat the number one in the West. You know what I mean? They were in the play-in game. You know what I'm saying? And then they were the worst offensive team in basketball. They've had injuries to key guys like Oladipo and Tyler Hero, who was, what, sixth man of the year last year, who got some money. You know what I mean? I mean... Why are they winning? How are they doing this?
Man, it honestly, I think it might honestly be, I was thinking about this, it might be the most improbable NBA run probably. I definitely
He used my word, improbable. Yes!
They're only the second.
What's the, let's go to the thesaurus.
Wait, hold on, Jared, what'd you say, Jared?
They're only the second number eight seed to make it to the finals.
Second eight seed to ever make it to the NBA Finals.
The Knicks.
Wow.
And the 1998-99 doesn't even count with the Knicks. Sorry, Jared, I cut you off. What did he say there?
He said the Knicks were the other one. He was saying what you were saying.
And
I was saying that I don't think they. I don't think they. They were like six games out of first place, the Knicks, because it was a half a season. So that one.
Look, I don't want to talk about the Knicks and Spurs. Let's go back to what we were talking about. Hell with the Spurs. I don't want to give him no clout for this. I've already shown respect to the producer, okay? Hell with the Spurs. You got the number one pick who was rigged. I don't want to hear nothing about the Spurs. Let's talk about the Heat. How are they winning, baby? How are they winning, Derek?
Yeah, no, I just think the Heat, the one thing that is so improbable on their run, I got to mention this, is like there's no way when you could ever think like Caleb Martin in any world, right, that would be like would be even possible to win the conference MVP. Are you kidding me? The man, anybody in the league could add this guy. Just think that he, I mean, and in game seven, he didn't just hit every shot. He hit like anything that was Boston was like, we're making a run. He's like, nope, I'm making a three right in your face. Game over, step back, smooth. And then this Vincent guy, I mean, he's coming, he looks really good as well. And they're competitive.
After he got hurt.
Exactly. And he came back like a dog. He came back and competed. I really just love the way his game was. And I mean, and they picked up Bam. Bam was not good. And the thing that was fascinating about with Miami, too, is that their big guys didn't even really necessarily get off to good starts. That's how you know you have a team that just is all digged in. And that's where Miami is better than Boston right now. Their coach has them to where there's a system in place to where they know how they're going to win a game. And they know what they're doing better than what Boston does at the end of the game. So in crunch time and in tough situations, they're more prepared. And I just feel like that's what it came down to. And Butler, who I'm sure you'll get into later, was fantastic early in the series. And then his guys picked him up later.
Exactly. I'm with you 100%. My answer to the question of why they've had this run, do people forget that last year they had the best record in the East and they were the number one seed? And lost in the conference finals to Boston. So this team ain't no scrubs. You know, you did add Kevin Love and Kyle Lowry. You know, granted they're old or whatever, but they bring that veteran leadership. And they bring these type of things that, like Udonis Haslam has been at Miami Heat for like 85 years. You know what I'm saying? He's doing something on the bench, just like these guys. But it goes back to Jimmy Butler. He doesn't have to be the best. He doesn't have to be the best at any one thing or not. He's going to impose his mama mentality on everybody else and make them think that they're the best. And it's crazy. It's crazy that he can do these things because everybody had confidence because he's not a superstar that says, give me the ball all the time. I'm the guy that's going to do it. No. He could have joined the super team. He could have joined my team. He could have joined anybody. Yeah. He said, nope, I'm going to do it with this team and do these things. But what helps him is he's got guys that nobody thought could do it. You got four undrafted players on your team, and you're still Jimmy Butler, who organization after organization after organization has said, we're going to let you go. You don't think Minnesota Timberwolves would love to have him in the playoffs? You don't think Philadelphia would love to have him in the playoffs? These are teams that passed him by because they couldn't handle the smoke. They couldn't handle being told what they're doing wrong and them not having the heart. And Jimmy Butler's not scared to do that. And he's in a perfect organization with Pat Riley, Alonzo Mourning, and Coach Spo to say, that's what we all about. And I think that's what I think that just helps Miami. And it's crazy. It's crazy. But here's my question to you, Darren. Here's my question to you. Everybody talked about Boston, including myself, could be the first team to ever come back from 3-0. First team ever. Ever. Which would have been crazy because nobody else in the history of the NBA has ever done it. I would differ to say Miami as an 8 seed, losing their first play-in tournament game and winning against the teams that they had to play with the injuries. And if they were to win, that would be more improbable than Boston being the first team to win 4 in a row after going down 0-3. What do you think?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think
you agree with that?
Yeah, I think I'd agree on that. I think that'd be good on that. I don't know. The fact that Boston, like, I still can't believe they even got down 3-0 to this team. I'm just sorry. I know we're under the heat, but they lost 6 games on their home. It's crazy to me. Yes. That. But that would have been, if they were able to, and I'm going to say this from a personal end, from a baseball, I know your producer's a baseball guy here. Yeah. The fact that they, in Boston, was not the other team to win.
Right.
Like, Thank God. There is a God. Like, I was like, I already hate Boston fans enough. The fact that they would get that over that, I was not going to be happy.
Yo, Boston would have had everything on you. They had the baseball winning that football, and then Tom Brady owning your team. Anyway, we'll get to that later. You know he's got a statue of the Tuck Rule game thing in his office already, right? No, he don't. But here's a serious question. I asked Tyler last time we were on the show together.
Yeah.
And now I think I got a little more traction to this question. Jimmy Butler's been a Miami Heat for 4 years. 4 years he's been a Miami Heat, right? His first year they lost in the championship. In the bubble, granted it was the bubble, to the Lakers. In the championship, in the finals. The second year they lost in the first round. They had injuries. Lost in the first round to the Bucks, who wound up winning the title. Last year, they lost to the Celtics in the conference finals. And now his fourth year, he's going back to the finals. If he were to win a ring this year with the improbable run, like we just both agreed to, would he be the second best Miami Heat player ever?
Yeah, I was thinking about this question. I was prepared for this one. This is a tough one for me. My guess is he is. I think
that's noted.
It's because if he wins a championship.
He has to win.
For me, if he doesn't, it doesn't put him ahead.
No.
It doesn't,
because he has to win.
To me, it's such an improbable run. His 4-year stats, I did look at them. They're amazing. But that year, he did lose. You got a Mitra. He was freaking awful in those 4 games. 17, 10, 19, 12. It was awful when they got swept in that series. Basketball. So let's not forget about that. That doesn't take away from what he did the last 2 years, where he's basically averaging 27.5 points games in the playoffs. He's been phenomenal. And the fact that you said he got him to 2 championships with both – and if you look at the bubble roster, too, it's not like this, like some roster.
Exactly.
Like,
Hero was a rookie then.
Exactly. And then this year, I mean, obviously we looked at it. We talked about the regular season stats. I mean, anybody in their right mind would pick them to win a championship if you look at their stats in the regular season. But you, given his type of he wills a freaking team. So if you're a fan base, I would think in my mind, if he won me a championship this year, he's the second best
player ever. Tyler, we love you. You heard your boy. You heard your boy, Tyler. He's with me, baby, because
if they win,
Darren, if they win,
I had a hard time. I told you Tim Hardaway and Zoe. I thought it.
No, dude, don't mess this up. Don't mess this up, Darren. Darren, don't mess this up. Because I'm a Lonzo Moore and I'm a Georgetown fan. Don't mess this up. Stop. Don't do that, baby. Don't do that.
I looked into it. He's not. The problem with him is he doesn't have the playoff games, but his regular seasons are right up there.
He's number two if they win. And I put it to this, Darren. This is my, you know, trying to put it together. I look at it in the way that LeBron James, he's won 4 rings, right?
Yep.
He won 2 with Miami, 1 with the Lakers in a bubble, and then the one he won in Cleveland. I look at the one he won in Cleveland against your guys, no offense to your guys, but they came back from, what, 3-1 down? And you won one for Cleveland who don't win shit. Your football team's colors are shit. They're brown and orange. You know what I mean? So you won a championship for that city who has nothing but shit and dirt everywhere. It's like, I mean, whatever. You know what I mean? I look at it as that championship meant more because you didn't win it with all these super duper stars. Yeah, yeah, Kyrie Irving with the mama mentality hitting the bucket. But you showed your greatness in that series. In that series, I gave LeBron much respect. I look at if Jimmy Butler can do this, I look at it in comparison to being better than LeBron's 2 rings with Wade and Bosh and Lonzo Mourning, Gary Payton and Ray Allen. And I keep naming all these players that the Heat won these championships with. You want to throw in Tim Hardaway, don't you, baby?
Well, his jersey retired there, man. You got to acknowledge that.
But you know what I'm saying. But you know what I'm saying, though, right? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's the reason why I say he would be number two. Just for that 4-year window without all those Hall of Famers that LeBron had to have. I'm glad you agree with me, baby. I'm glad you agree with me.
Dude, he has freaking Caleb Martin and Vincent on his team.
He's got 4 attractive players. So going with it. So with Miami Heat success, with 4 undrafted players, the NBA draft is only 2 rounds. Did you know that?
Yep.
So I'm looking at the G League. I like to investigate a lot of things. The G League has a lot of different rules and whatnot. I'm saying with the rule change of the play-in tournament, which a lot of people hated, I think this shows with the Lakers' success getting to the conference finals and the Heat getting to the finals as a play-in tournament team that the Dallas Mavericks didn't want to be a part of. They went from conference championship loss to saying, we don't want to get in the play-in. We want to try to get a draft pick, which, why y'all suck? But anyway, I think that rule was awesome for the play. I think the play-in tournament has earned its keep. So what I'm suggesting is, let's make the NBA draft 3 rounds. And the reason why I'm saying that is to allow teams to draft and stash for the G League. So you can draft somebody. They under your umbrella. You can put them in the G League for as long as you want because they're in your umbrella. What do you think about that scenario? I think that would change all kinds of strategies and all kinds of things.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good idea. I think that I've always thought that the NBA should have something like MLB has, like where they have this. I mean, I know they have their G League team, but like you said, you want a deeper roster. Like they have like multiple systems that Major League NBA. They, you know, I think there's a couple teams that don't even have one.
They all got one now.
I know a couple years ago they didn't. So that's good, but they don't have 2 teams like MLB does. They don't have 3 teams like MLB. So I think you're right. You draft more players, you get a chance to keep them under your system. They have that undrafted system. I get that too, but I like that idea. It used to be 10 rounds back in the day or something crazy like that. So I'm good with 3 rounds and a little bit. College basketball, the international play, that allows for that.
Yeah. Because in the G League right now, the way they have it, the draft, other teams can just pick up. It's kind of like having a practice squad in the NFL. Other teams can pick your practice squad. That's what the G League is. But if you add an extra round, all these 4 players for the Heat that were undrafted, maybe they're drafted by organization saying, you're raw. Let's stay one year there and whatever.
Yep.
I think that would be awesome for strategy-wise, like trading. Like, I'll trade you this and I'll trade you this. You never know what can happen with that. I think that would be fun.
No, I think that's a good idea. I was just trying. Yeah, my mind always goes to like, okay, why don't they do something like this? And I'm trying to think.
That's because I'm not the commissioner. That's why.
No, I know, I get you, but I see the benefits with it. I always thought it weird that they. I also think it's also TV related. I'm honestly, I think it's TV related as well. I don't think that's all. That's why, how I think about stuff.
Like but why not? You're already making like team. What is it? Team something in the G League where all the high school guys go there. You're already trying to promote that. So promote it even more, saying, "Yo, the Golden State Warriors just drafted this guy from overseas. They put him in the G League because they have rights to him. But watch what's going to happen in the next year or two." That's something the producer Spurs would do. You know what I mean? I think that would just make all kinds of big-time storylines and big-time segues and everything else.
Yeah, no, that would be interesting if they did do something like that. It would definitely open up. I guarantee more guys would come out in the draft. That's right. For sure. You would see that definitely. We saw a few guys today pull back in the draft. That would be very interesting. I think it would definitely allow for what you're saying, like that heat kind of culture we're talking about, to maybe play out a little bit more too.
Yeah, I think so. Okay, so finally, from my boy Nico at Far End of the Bench Podcast, the Denver Nuggets. The Denver Nuggets, their first ever NBA Finals. Yeah. Well, my question is, we keep talking about the Heat. They're still rolling. It's us against the world. Nobody thinks we can do it. Denver's got over a week of rest. Which one do you think is going to come out more rusty? Denver or maybe tired Miami team?
Man, I don't know. I just expect Denver to roll. In the first game, sweep. Not necessarily sweep. I just think in the first game, I would be surprised if Miami can hang with them in the altitude. The very first game back from a pretty grueling 7-game series against the Celtics. You only get 2 days of really full rest. You're flying to Denver there. You're doing all the media there. Let's be honest. We've been talking about undrafted guys that are in the finals. So, I don't know. That's what I think there. I'm far end of the bench there. I know our guy Nico with Denver there. It's kind of weird. I wonder if Denver, if they don't like being the favorite in some regards. I wonder fan bases do it. Like, me or I or Nico with you about game six, right? He wasn't like
Friday he can get on. I'm with you, too. So, and as much as I hate to say it, I'm going to have to give my kudos. Is the Joker the best player in the NBA right now?
Yeah. Yep.
He is the best player. He's overtaking Giannis.
He's almost averaging. Yeah, he's averaging a triple freaking double a year. I mean, he's healthy. I mean, I don't look at him and say, what is he doing bad? I mean, he dominates every category. I mean, what else do you want from a freaking player on offense? I mean, even on defense, he might not do everything. But, like, he understands. Like, you saw it against the Lakers. I mean, there was everything was against them in game four, and they won. That after I saw that game, I was like, they're ready. He's the man now. He's ready to go.
Well, I'm gonna get back to all that right there. Yeah. But how long do you think he can be the best player? Because we knew he was a fat boy back in the day, and he's played for years. How long can he be that?
The one thing about him that's different is he doesn't like really rely on like his athleticism, from a jumping standpoint.
Yeah.
So there's a point where he could be the best player for at least the next 3 years. I mean, like the best player, like MVP level player. And then after that, I don't see why he doesn't age like better than, let's just say, a Vlade Divac, like that passes and like a sub. You know what I mean? Like I don't see why he can't be minimum that. So
I agree.
I think he's one of the best. I think at the end of his day, he might be one of the 15 best players to ever play basketball. I think at the end of the day, he might be that good. He's still got a lot of time left, too.
Top 15. This guy has won a title yet.
I don't think I've ever seen a big guy pass the ball better than him, ever. Have you? Have you seen one big guy ever pass the ball better than him?
I'm thinking.
No, you can't. That's why.
I don't know. But, the thing about it is with him, I think.
End of the day.
I think everything is perfect for him. He's got the people around him to enhance his skill set. I think that's just what it is. They have built it around him because, like you said, he don't play defense like that. He's flat footed. He don't have the athleticism, but he's got bigs, Aaron Gordon, Michael Porter Jr. Yeah. that are big and athletic on the wing for him. He's got a killer in Jamal Murray right there. And then you got a deep ass bench and a coach that knows what he's doing. Yeah, he came from the Spurs, so what? But you see what I'm saying? I think he's just in a perfect situation to do what he needs to do. And some people say that about Tom Brady. He was in a perfect situation with the Patriots, with the scheme and everything on. Maybe that's the same kind of scenario. I don't know. But coaches are crying. Coaches are getting fired. My thing about Denver's coach is He's crying, talking about we are getting no respect. Dude, stop playing that card. You're playing the Heat. Who's giving them respect? Every round we thought they were going to lose. But then I started thinking about it, and I said, is he crying about that for the team or for himself? Because we've seen star coaches getting fired, and nobody's talking about him at all. Could he possibly think about him? Like, why are y'all talking about me being a great coach?
Man, it's hard for me to think, like, from his personality that that's what he's trying to do. I think, I think what you're talking about, he's just trying to what's that saying where you're trying to dig a freaking hole in my army? That's what he wants. He wants that hole. That's the mentality. I actually really like Malone. He was the assistant here when under Mark Jackson for a year.
Under who?
Mark Jackson.
Oh, he was under Mark Jackson. Okay, great.
Yes, he was. And I think he. I don't know if he's actually from the East Coast, but he has this East Coast like feel to him when he talks and stuff. I actually really like him because when his team sucks, he freaking tells them they suck. And I like that one about him. Like when those two games he lost in Phoenix, he's like, I mean, he just unloaded on him in the media. And I was like, I don't know. I liked it.
He got it from Mark Jackson.
Responded. They haven't lost since.
He got it from Mark Jackson.
There you go.
You got it right, Jack.
He does the speeches in the locker room. There you go.
So here we go.
I get you, though. I like him.
Darren. Hypothetical, like we did with the Heat. If Denver were to happen to win, they would have beat the 8th seed in Minnesota, who's beating up each other, so who cares? And then they would have beat the 5th seed in the Suns, who have no chemistry together, no bench. And then they would beat the 7th seed Lakers, who were injuries and all kinds of stuff going on with them. And then if you were to win in the finals, you beat the number 8 seed Heat. Would they get any respect for this title if they were to win?
Dude, the Warriors got no respect when they beat the Cavs in 2015. That's just how it works. You got to back it up.
But y'all beat LeBron.
I remember that year. Everybody's like, oh, everybody was hurt. You know what I mean? Like, they got to do it again. That's why they went 24-0 the next year, shut everybody up to start the year, even though they lost. Like, that was their motivation the next season.
So is Denver going to get respect?
Dude, you are right. Like, the next year, they're going to give them their love that first month, but they come the basketball season and be like, well, Denver's good, but they played. It's going to be like,
yes!
But that's where Denver is going to have to be able to back it up. But they will definitely. I bet Nico. I mean, how could you say that? Yeah, no, there's no way you'll be like, yeah, Denver's going to back it up, even with the best player, because it's Denver and you have to see him do it again.
Denver should have been praying that Boston won, just because of the star power of Boston, the stigma of Boston,
for the better
and everything else. Gotcha. To beat Boston, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
To beat them, they were in the finals last year. To beat them, and for all the hoopla, whatever. To play Miami, who's a play-in team that was an 8 seed with injuries. Granted, they've been shocking the world, but you're Denver. You haven't done nothing to get any respect. This is not going to help you get no respect. And I feel bad. No, I don't. I don't feel bad for them at all. I don't give a hell with Denver. Everybody knows I hate them. It doesn't matter.
Yes, you do.
It sucks, though. It sucks for them. Sorry. I hope y'all still lose. Go Jimmy Butler. Let's go. But get to the teams, like you said, Malone. You like Malone. Nick Nurse, who won a title with the Toronto Raptors. He picked Philadelphia over the Suns and maybe even over Boston if he might have waited. Why do you think he picked Philadelphia? Because we don't know if Harden's going to stay or not. Now, granted, Maxey stepped up. Maybe there's other options out there. Why do you think he picked Philadelphia?
I mean, at the end of the day, there's only 32 of these, or 30 jobs here, right? So there's that, and
Kevin Durant and Devin Booker in Phoenix.
He could have.
Boston.
Don't you think they would have already, if Phoenix really wanted him, they would have,
They interviewed him and offered him to him. He picked Philadelphia.
He picked up. I just think Embiid, at the end of the day, gives him I think what he's thinking is the way he played in Toronto.
Yeah.
I think he's an East Coast guy, first of all. I think that's what the first – I just feel him as that type of person. Toronto's not that far from the East Coast, obviously, as you know. And Embiid's the MVP. The way he played in Toronto was a system defensively where it put everything towards the center. I think there's a part of that I like with him in that fact. He's got Maxey. That's a young guy. I think with Harden gone – they got to get rid of this freaking Tobias Harris contract. That they got to get rid of this. That thing is just weighing them down.
Is he still there? When is that going to go away?
Dude, this year he makes $37.5 million.
That sounds like some Jordan Poole shit. I mean, what the?
Jordan Poole doesn't even make that much, thank God. Yeah. But my point is, like, that's killing him. But I do like the idea of Embiid and Maxey together. I don't know. I just think Nurse, KD and Booker, as good as they are, I don't know. I heard you guys talk about their bench. Like, there's really nothing there outside of that either. So, I mean, it's kind of like, I think for him, there's a little bit more actually flexibility in Philadelphia. So I think that's why he went there.
I'm with you with that. And if Harden leaves, that opens up money. That opens up money. And the hottest name for the offseason, yeah, people can say Kyrie. The only place Kyrie should go is L.A. because anywhere else, it's not going to matter. I don't even want him, really, unless LeBron will leave. But the name is Dame. Damian Lillard is the name. Damian Lillard can go to Boston in a trade with Jaylen Brown, whatever else. Philadelphia with Harden gone. Or the Bucks, because they're going to lose Lopez. They might lose Middleton. I mean, these are teams that can win a title next year. Not to mention your boys. But you see what I'm saying? Should Damian Lillard humble himself and say, I wanted to be the best Blazer ever and bring a championship? You're not going to bring a championship. What team would fit Dame better to jump aboard to win?
Yeah. I think the Sixers one is just, I mean, how Sixers, it's as ideal as you can get fit-wise, especially where they're at both in their career. Like, kind of not able to really get over the hump. There's a motivation there with that. I do agree with that. He's an interesting guy, though, man. I think he really just wants to stay in Portland. As odd as that sounds, you know what I mean? Like, I don't get it, but I do, in a weird way, I honestly do respect it, though. I know that sounds odd, but there is part of me that, like, I don't know, I like that idea that he wants to play for the city. I do like that. I don't like guys that move on. That's just, I hate that part of it, too. But if we're talking from winning a championship, you're not winning one in Portland, buddy. So if you want to win one, you better move on to the Sixers. Boston, I never thought about that, man. That's an interesting one. I mean, I didn't think about that.
He could play off Jaylen, off Tatum.
That would be interesting. I think that would definitely be an upgrade. My God, what an upgrade that would be. You get Lillard being able to, like, they still shoot a buttload of threes, but
that's your killer.
And he can dribble.
Here's my thing, Darren. The reason why I agree with you with Philadelphia is, you go to Boston, they've already got their prestige or whatever. You know what I'm saying? You go to the Bucks, they've already won. You go to Philadelphia, where they haven't won since way back. It's always been, you know what I'm saying, we're the process. The process. You can go to Philadelphia, win a championship, you'll still get the same love like Nick Foles did with the Eagles. You know what I mean? Bringing a championship to Philadelphia just because they can't get to the conference finals. They can't even get to the conference finals. He at least did that once. I think if he goes to Philadelphia, that would be the best situation for him.
I'm with you. I don't even think it's close. Honestly, I really don't think that. I mean, people, you mentioned the Bucks too, I think, was the other team. Like,
the Bucks.
I don't know. Like, it doesn't, I mean, I don't know. That doesn't feel, I'm not feeling that one. I think the Sixers, that would, then my juices are, I just think that's the best.
That'd be huge right there, baby. So your guy, Bob Myers, and you've been hinting about it many times we talked. He finally stepped down. Why do you think he stepped down? Is it the changes that you're going to have to make? Decisions with Klay or Draymond? What do you think?
I listened to the interview actually like the other day. Like, that's how much of a life I don't have. I listened to the interview the other day and I honestly thought he was just burnt out. Like, he just sounded like a guy that was toast. He just sounded like a guy that was toasted a little bit. I mean, I don't know what more to say than that. I think they said they would pay him the most money. I mean, so obviously it wasn't money. He lives in the Bay Area. He's got a really good team that could win a championship.
Can they?
I just think – no, I said that could win a championship in the future. Could
they?
I think they could. Let's say put it this way. They're a little closer than half the other teams in the league. So for him to leave – I just think he's spent. I looked at a guy that was burnt out. I think.
But he said that, right? He said that. Yeah. He said in this position, if you can't give your all to it 100%, then you shouldn't be in that position. I love that answer because it was like he wasn't throwing nobody under the bus. He wasn't saying anything about any personnel decisions. I love that answer. And that's why after this year, he's going to get another job. Maybe with us. I don't know.
Well, that would be nice. I don't know. Hey, let me ask you this. I don't know what job, I don't know what you guys do for a living. But I also think the Warriors owner is a hard ass. And I'm just saying, like, I think he drives, you know what I mean? Like, I think he's on you all the time, even though he hates successful. Religion.
Ask Mark Jackson.
Well, that too. But I think, there's a few players. Andrew Bogut was not a fan as well. So I think that part of it too, I don't know, like, whenever I had a boss that was more on me than other ones, that does weigh on you a little bit more. And I would think that played a factor.
It does. And I'm interested to see what's going to happen because, I mean, throughout Dame or whatever. But if you lose Clay's money and you don't give Draymond his money and he goes to L.A. to win a championship next year, you can squeeze a Dame in there. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. That would be crazy. I don't know. But let's get to your coach, Steve Kerr, real quick. Because this is the first time he's ever lost. When he wasn't in the finals, when he made the playoffs, it's the first time he ever lost, not making it to the finals. I am happy about this because I am somebody that doesn't want him to give him that much credit. I shouldn't say that. Not as much credit as everybody else is saying about him. I think that he fell into a situation where it was lovely. And I think it was kind of like, you know, different coaches, John Gruden winning the championship with Tampa Bay after Herm Edwards already had everything there, and then he went there and won. Now, granted, that was only one year. You know what I'm saying? I just feel like, and nothing against Kerr. He's a good coach, but what I'm saying is when you are blessed with that roster and team and the stability with the young guys and their young contracts, he had a lot of opportunity to do a lot of things. If they do not get to the conference finals next year, how will we look at Steve Kerr after that?
Can I go back to your Kerr point, though?
Go ahead.
I think the one thing about Kerr when he came onto the job, this is why I give him a lot of respect with it, is like he actually, like, if you read all the quotes, he shouted out Mark Jackson than anybody else should. Like, I mean, he gave for a whole year, he basically gave Mark Jackson, like, it's not like he came in and was like, I'm better than. So that's the one part of me when I see Steve Kerr, he was humble enough to understand what Mark Jackson built before him there. But I hear you.
Hold on, say that again. Mark Jackson built what?
He built them defensively and mentality-wise. He did do that. But Kerr came in at the right point. Kerr has way more imagination on offense.
Sure.
He's a better people person. He communicates better with everybody around him.
I agree.
He gets along with more people, whether you like it or not. And he enhanced the team way better. I get frustrated with him during, especially early in the regular season when he tries to play 14 guys. That pisses me off.
He's trying to figure things out.
I'm not going to sit here and tell you he's a bad. My favorite podcast you guys did was talking about this. I went for a run. I was like, what the fuck? I was like, whole time running, you guys are talking about this. I was like, I wish I was on there with you guys that one night. But, like, I respect Mark Jackson for what he did, but he's not in Steve Kerr. He's just not at his level.
And I think that goes back to Steve Kerr getting punched in the face by Michael Jordan in practice. Yep. When you get punched in the face by the best player in the league. Yeah.
Yeah. I said, Steve Kerr had his dad die in Arizona. Like, this guy has been through hard shit. Like, he understands. Yeah.
I will not denounce him being a great coach. I just hate the fact that people don't give Mark Jackson any credit. And I feel like they give Steve Kerr too much credit. You know what I mean? I feel like Steve Kerr is one of the top ones, but I feel like people look at him like he's way up here. He's not.
Yeah.
He's not Pop. He's not Phil Jackson. He's not those.
Do you think he's Spoelstra?
No, because Spoelstra's doing it with nothing. Yeah, granted, he had LeBron in the super teams, but look at the years when LeBron and them were gone. He was still building competitive teams in the culture of the nature of the Miami Heat. When Kerr didn't have Curry and all them, they were the worst team in fucking basketball. And then high draft pick and took Wiseman and all these bums. Right or wrong?
No, you were definitely right.
That's my point. That's my point about it. Yeah. That's my point.
Yeah, I know. I think that's a fair argument is in terms of the way you put that there is when the Warriors haven't had always the most stacked roster, I guess you could say. They haven't always. But I also think you have to understand what that too is like. The way the Warriors system is built, like Clay was out 2 years. You know what I'm saying?
There is
a way that this is built with certain players in that regard. I just want to make this point about Mark Jackson. The part with Mark Jackson that got him fired is that he literally just could not get along with people. Like, I'm just telling you what it is. Like, he couldn't get along with people, and that's just honestly part of the freaking job. It's like you've got to be able to get along with people that you know.
I said that. Brandon Evans. I've already said that, baby. You need to rewind the tape, man. Is this the dude, Jared, that you want to get on the show? This guy wants to get on the show with me? I've already said that shit, Brandon Evans. If you want to get on Friday night on the Raw episode, be careful, because I've already said all these things, and I'm going to let you know about it. Right, Darren? We already talked about that, baby. So before we go, Darren, Tom Brady, Mr. Tuck Rule guy. He's not coming back to the Dolphins. He's not going to take his lucrative TV deal. He's still with Kim K, which is a cancer. He's the minority owner of your Raiders. Of your Raiders right now. I feel like that's going to help Josh McDaniel because that's his offensive coordinator. But why would he pick the Raiders? Why?
Oh, my gosh. Al Davis has rolled over his grave. I did a segment on this on Fatboy Fave. If there's an owner, like, I don't, Mark Davis, I mean, Al Davis, he's dead to him. He's got to be dead to him. So, I mean, there's no way Al Davis would ever allow this to freaking happen. He'd be like, man, no way. That's the first thing that comes to my mind is he would kill him. Kill his son for allowing this. It's so funny that given the whole set. I'm sorry, man. That's the first
thing. He said kill his son, producer. What the hell?
He would. He's tough. He's like that. I think he would. You know what I mean. I think he would disown him.
I wouldn't kill my son. I don't know what you're talking about. No, I'm just playing. Go ahead, Derek. Go ahead, Derek.
I just think Al, it's funny that he ends up on the owner of the Raiders where Garoppolo's, right? Like, it was his.
Garoppolo?
He's with the Raiders, like, or with his favorite offensive coordinator, he said, ever, as the head coach. And then you're with a team where the guy has foot surgery and might not be available.
Right!
It's just all, I mean, you can't write this crap. I mean, it's hilarious. Nobody does it better than Tom. He stays in the news. I don't know how he does it. It's insane to me. I don't like it because I don't like Tom Brady.
I mean.
But I don't care from our standpoint. It's not going to help us on the field. I mean, I don't know.
What's not going to help you is your star wide receiver, Devontae Adams, being pissed off. That's not what's going to help you. He is sounded off being pissed off. What?
The coach said it was all right. He's allowed to be upset.
That's because Josh McDaniels is a punk. And he's had everybody get in his face. I've seen Tom Brady cuss his ass out on the sidelines. Literally.
I'm afraid. I have a feeling he's not going to be on our team.
He drafted Tim Tebow. I was on the George T show today. And I said, Devontae Adams will be traded.
I can see that. Honestly, man, who do you think he would go to? The Jets? Think that's where he would go?
I mean, is everybody else going to the Jets?
I'm just being Adams. It's hard for me not to have
a... If Adams was in the Jets...
Well, I just take it as the cap space and then the obvious right there.
You know what I would do if I was Devontae Adams? He's used to cold weather.
The Raiders aren't trading.
He's used to going to cold weather, right? Go to the Bills and beat the Jets' ass and Aaron Rodgers. Go to the Bills!
The Raiders aren't trading.
He's gone. Devontae Adams is going to create a stir and a ruckus. Yeah, so what? So what?
Yeah, you're all right.
You know, NFL, they throw money everywhere, dude. They don't care about that. Yeah, everybody's contract becomes the newest high-paid player in the league. Everybody's contract does that shit. Derek Carr had that shit for a minute, right? Come on, bro. Derek Carr was the highest player in the history of the NFL. Come on, bro.
I'm on the team, right?
You know what it means. Hey, yo, I'm putting it out there right now. Devontae Adams, not Hopkins, which we're going to get to. Everybody on Spotify, listening right now, we got under a minute left. Relevance of Sports Talk, episode 175 with Darren from Fatboy Fadeaway. Subscribe to him on YouTube. They're doing a great job out there in California. If you're getting cut off, jump back on live on the YouTube because we got about a few more minutes left to get to some other stuff. Anyway, if he went to the Bills to go against Rodgers, that's big time storylines. Come on, baby. That's big time storylines.
That would be fun. That would be fun to see him.
Is Rodgers following the same pattern as Fire? Or will Rodgers be able to fight? Yo, Brandon Evans. Dude, I have said this about 35 episodes ago, Brandon Evans. So if you ever want to just pop in and just talk about some things, you need to rewind some episodes and catch up, baby. Go get some mustard, get some relish so you can catch up. You know what I'm saying? Darren! Darren, so before we go with this, D-Hop. I have said that I thought he was the best wide receiver in football. Maybe not at this moment,